In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning, on the seventh Sunday of Matthew, we hear an account of Jesus opening the eyes of not one, but two blind men. And it's fitting that this gospel reading would come one day after the Feast of the Transfiguration, because the Feast of the Transfiguration is very much a feast about changing the way we look at things. When Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to the mountain, it wasn't Jesus who changed, but it was the eyes of Peter, James, and John who changed, so that they could see Jesus more fully and know that he was in fact God, and begin, if you will, to taste and to see the kingdom of God. And this morning, with that as a background, since I've been asked recently to preach another icon sermon, I wanted to talk a little bit about opening our eyes with regards to icons and allowing icons to help us see the world in a transfigured way. First, we must remember this morning that icons are as old as the church, and there are drawings as old as Christianity. And that's important because, and I'm guilty of the following, I will confess that, we very often like to say, well, icons became popular and grew up in a world where there wasn't a lot of literacy and people could not own books, and as a consequence, the pictures took the place of the books. And that's really not entirely correct. It's not correct at all, quite frankly, because the tradition of icons and the New Testament itself grew up together. And so there is something very special about icons other than just them just being pictographs or comic books for the illiterate. It's far more than that. We had talked earlier in the summer a good bit about theology and how we came to believe what we believe about Jesus Christ. And icons really help us with that. Icons make a very firm statement about who Jesus Christ is. He is fully man, and he's depicted as man, but he is fully God. And that's why around his head we have always the words, the word O-on, or the one who is. O-on means the one who is, and this is how God describes himself in the Old Testament. And so those centuries of stating and affirming and coming to terms with who Jesus is, they are stamped and sealed, if you will, in the icon of Jesus itself. But then the icon is also important in the witness, if you will, to the truths that were reaffirmed in the 14th century. In the 14th century, people who wanted to intellectualize the faith were countered by people who affirmed and reaffirmed that you could know God personally, that you could encounter him personally in prayer. And so the fact that we call icons windows into heaven, the fact that icons allow us, if you will, to taste of the kingdom somewhat, help to reaffirm that. So icons play an important role, if you will, in the fight against heresy. Because those icons, those early icons of Jesus, proclaimed and sealed, if you will, who he is and who he was and who he will be. And then the icons later in these struggles about can you know God, can you know his kingdom, the icons play a role there. In fact, if we look at all of our icons, we notice that they are all bathed in light. And it is not just any light, it's God's uncreated light. It's the light that was created at the beginning of Genesis when God says, let there be light. The light that exists before there was a sun and a moon. And that light is everywhere because the kingdom of God is breaking into this world and it cannot be held back. And that is why, as we've mentioned before, icons like the Last Supper and the Doubting Thomas icon, they have little curtains above them. That's iconographic code that this event took place indoors because even those events look like they're out of doors because the light just penetrates and covers everything in an icon. And before, in fact, leaving this first part of the sermon, this way we treat icons and regard them helps to answer a very important question. Why be Christian? And you know, that's one of my favorite questions, right? We should be able to answer this. If somebody says, why should I bother being a Christian? And it's because when we live as Christians, we can begin to taste of the kingdom of God. And icons visually remind us of that. Now, changing gears just a bit, what about the second commandment? This is the Revised Standard Version. You shall not make for yourself a graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. And so there are people who would say the use of icons is a violation of the second commandment. Actually, as we will see, it's the use of icons, if you will, fulfills the second commandment. The second commandment says, don't make any images of things on the earth. Yes, that's true. And we would endorse completely not making castings of calves or animals or any other such thing, as was the practice of pagans. Nor would we endorse trying to depict God the Father, who is beyond a depiction. Jesus, of course, is of heaven and of the earth. And the figures depicted in icons are of heaven and of the earth. They're not one or the other. And in fact, then when we have this raising up, if you will, of the picture of Jesus Christ, it's a reminder of what? That I am the Lord your God, I am a jealous God. It is before Christ that we bow. We are affirming that the Messiah has come and that he is Jesus and that we worship him. So we would not think in any possible way that it would be appropriate to make a casting of an animal and worship it. But it makes perfect sense to us as Christians who are the fulfillment of God's promise to the people of Israel. It makes perfect sense to us to worship Jesus Christ in picture. There's nothing wrong with that. We might actually say that it is possible if people are very adamant that the second commandment has to be adhered to in its original form, then that you could almost infer from that these people are still waiting for the Messiah to come. But we know the Messiah has come. He is Jesus. And so our having icons around us does nothing to go against the second commandment. Instead, it affirms that we believe that Jesus is God. I am the Lord your God. I am a jealous God. And then the third part of this sermon is we kind of take a little bit of a second look at icons. Has to do with how the style of icons forms us. And I would introduce it by telling a true story. Some of our choir members were present for this. I was giving a little talk before a choir continuing education seminar that they do. And I wanted to talk about music tradition in the context of understanding our iconographic tradition. Many of us are probably aware that the technique, the art, the tradition of Byzantine iconography was in danger of being lost until the early 20th century. And we know that because you can visit lots of churches, older churches in the United States, in Europe, and you will see paintings that are very Western and realistic. And really one man helped to spearhead the resurrection, if you will, of the Byzantine icon. And his name was Photius Kontoglou. And through his efforts, we recognize that there's something very important about this tradition, this style of art that we have in our churches. And why is this style so important? These are some thoughts not of mine, but of Leonard Ouspensky. And he says the following. Freedom in art brings art down to our level. Icons raise us up, icons raise us up beyond man being the measure of all things. So when I create art, when I'm free to create an art, it says, this is about me. This is about my creative act as man. But the icon raises us up that, up above that. You know, this idea that you and I are the measure of everything isn't totally wrong, obviously. God is the measure of all things. So the fact that there is a style of icons helps us to understand that you and I are not the end-all and be-all in anything in life, including when art. Ospensky continues, he says, when we do art in kind of a realistic, quote-unquote, Western style, whatever that means, but it introduces passions into art, and we are to be dispassionate. And if we actually look around at our icons, we see that these events, even a dramatic event like the raising of Lazarus, there is a dispassionate element to it. And we are, in fact, in our interaction with the world, our interaction with one another, our interaction with art, we are to be dispassionate. And then he says this, the iconographic canon, how we do icons, this style, the quote-unquote rules, he says the canon is not an unbending rule, but a hidden norm. And so it's not that we do icons this way because we must copy things one after another, generation after generation, but instead, in doing icons in a certain style, it reflects what is normative inside of us as Christians, this way of life, this goodness, this peace, this dispassionate existence, this being filled with God's uncreated light, etc., etc. So the icon, if you will, tradition is not rules to follow for rules' sake. Instead, it reflects what's inside of a person who is becoming more and more Christian every day. So we might want to put it in modern terms and maybe using the words from a camp song, we would say this, that icons help to form our mind, transform our heart, and conform our will so that we can follow God's plan for salvation. They keep us on center. They bring us back around. They disconnect us from our passionate tendencies. So I would conclude this morning by saying, in the obvious, that icons have great meaning for all Orthodox Christians, but I think especially for us at Holy Trinity, since every time we come here to worship, we are surrounded by icons. But more than art, icons for us are a guide to a way of life. On this seventh Sunday of Matthew, we are of course reminded that Jesus opens the eyes of the blind, and he opened the eyes of two blind men this morning. And on this day after the Transfiguration, we are encouraged by the church to see the world differently. Put another way, perhaps put a bit ironically, when you and I look at an icon, it opens our eyes.